Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to our Thursday night Mishmar. Tonight is a Lag BaOmer Shir, Freilich and Lag BaOmer, even though we just counted Lad, Lamedalad. But nevertheless, for Lag BaOmer, I wanted to talk about Eliyahu HaNavi, Rav Shum Bar Yochai, the Zohar. And I really want to ask one question on maybe a significant portion of Chachmas HaKabbalah that, as I understand, is really the revelations that Eliyahu HaNavi shared with Rav Shum Bar Yochai and communicated to us in the Zohar. And it's a very simple question that is asked in many different forms about many different places in Halacha. And that is the sugya of Lo Bashamayim Hi, which in its first form is dealt with in Psak as far as do we listen to a bas kol or do we not listen to a bas kol. So just before I get into the sugya, just by show of hands, how many have gotten bas kols before? That's one, two, three. Okay, fine. Okay. Right. Okay, so unfortunately, we don't have too many baskels nowadays, and Chazal pointed that out, that absent the Beis HaMikdash, we don't have baskels. Not absent the Beis HaMikdash, but absent a certain level that we no longer have. There are different dargas of revelation of Hashem's revealing Himself. The highest is called Nevuah. Right? No. The highest is right. Whatever your wife tells you, you do. Baskel, no baski, just do it. So the highest level of communication of Hashem to a human being is Nevuah. Then there's something called a baskel. Then there's something called Racha Kodesh, that's something called. So maybe we don't have Nevuah Bizman Hazeh, maybe at some point in history there was a Basko, maybe we don't have Basko Bizman Hazeh, but there might still be something called some kind of Racha Kodesh. Maybe if there's not Racha Kodesh, maybe we have at least a certain Siyata Neshmaya to certain great people. I'm sure some of you might have stories about your interactions with Reb Chaim or the Chazon Ish or the Stipler. There's some wild stories. At least one I heard from the mouth of the person to whom things like this happened. So that could be a certain amount of understanding that Hashem gives a human being. But we're going to talk about a basko. This is the Gemara that we'll start with, the most well-known Gemara that you are probably familiar with the story. We'll look at it quickly, and then we're going to get into some kashas and some stiras to this story. So the story is in Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Tes, Amud Aleph, and this is the story of Tanur Shel Achnai. And it's a certain kind of oven made out of pieces with held together with the sand, holding the joints together. And because it's not a full unit, it's broken up already, so there's a machlokas whether it's going to be Tamei or Tahar. Rabbi Eliezer says it's Tahar, and Chachamin argued on him. And of course, you know the story. There are four things that Rebbe Elazar said to prove his point. Number one, as you have number one, Amar Lahem, Im Halacha Kamosi, Charev Zeh Yochiach. Let this carob tree prove that I'm right. And what happened? The Charev jumps up 100 Amis and flies away in front of the Chachamim's eyes, and they clearly see that Rebbe Elazar is right. And what's their response? The response is, you can't bring prayas in a sugya from a carob tree jumping. Number two, Halacha Kamosi, Amas Hamayim Yochichu. Let the river prove me right. And the Amas Hamayim starts flowing backwards, and they say, sorry, in a sugya, you can't bring a raya from a river. Halacha Kamosi, Kosli Beis HaMedrash Yochichu. Now here you have to sort of figure out what he's trying to say. After he said that the Kosli Beis HaMedrash Yochichu, the walls of the Beis HaMedrash started to fall down. Now, if there's a conversation that's happening in the Beis HaMedrash, and the people are sitting there, and the walls of the Beis HaMedrash fall down, what happens? I assume that means they bury the people who are inside. So why in the world did Rabbi Eliezer say this? Maybe he felt that if there's a Beis HaMedrash that's going to have the wrong psak, the wrong halacha, doesn't deserve to stand, the people don't deserve to, I don't know. But nevertheless, the walls of the Beis HaMedrash start... Beautiful. So the same way he holds that the tanner is not really held together. That's why it's tar. It's not real kli. The whole bowls, maybe. What do you want to say, Ramosha?
Maybe the ceiling didn't fall. That was to prove his point. The walls fell without the roof.
Oh, the walls fall down. I think even if the walls would fall with the roof, at the moment that he commanded them to, that would also be pretty incredible. But maybe the walls, the ceiling was just going to stay suspended in the air. The walls would start falling. Don't know.
He didn't say what should happen.
He didn't.
That would be a right.
But I guess what is it? So if you're saying he didn't even ask for it, Hashem made. So the lesson is still equally there. The fact that Hashem said made the walls fall down, and only continues the Gemara of Yeshua says no, they let them stay up. So the walls stood up. At his words, finally, the last of the four proofs that Rabbi Elazar tried to marshal from the heavens. Im halacha kamosi number four min hashamayim yochichu. Yotza Baskol, and the Baskol comes out and says, the halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer, not only here in this case of this Tanur Shalachnai, but Bechol Makom. And Rabbi Yeshua says, sorry, buddy. I don't know if Rabbi Yeshua said it to the Baskol or to Rabbi Eliezer or to the people around him. Lo Bashamayim Hi. What does that mean? My Lo Bashamayim Hi. That means that Shekfar Nitna Torah Mehar Sinai. Because the Torah says, Shekvar Kasavta Bahar Sinai, Batorah Achrei Rabba Mahatas. The Torah already told us how to paskin, the way we pass is following Chachamim, following the majority, and therefore, since the Chachamim are arguing Rabbi Elazar, the Torah already told us what the halacha is.
That would disprove what the gentleman said between Minch and Marv. He answered that the Baskol was not deciding what the halacha is, Tomei or Tohar. You just saying
a general thing. That's true.
Exactly,
yeah. No, he was saying we only listen to it if.
Right, but it's the same lashon.
No, there maybe he was saying that maybe you would listen to a baskel if the baskel was general, but you wouldn't listen to a baskel if the baskel is specific.
General. The baskel is general.
You're right. Yeah. That's true. So one of the rishonim says your point. I forget who. Okay. So what do we see from the sugya? This is the famous story that the sugya begins with, that we see lo b'shamayim hi, and to this story we have a stira in Shas. Tosis, in Bava Metzia, right here on this daf, and in Yevamos also, on daf Yudalid, this is the Gemara in Bava Metzia, daf and Shas. Tosis asks a stira in the Gemara, from the Gemara in Yevamos. The Gemara in Yevamos tells us that we follow Beis Hillel because there's a baskel that says that we follow Beis Hillel. That's what the Gemara Yevamos says. So if there's a baskel, the reason why we always follow Beis Hillel is because there's a baskel that says follow Beis Hillel, and we do follow that. We do always pass like Beis Hillel. And here we say we don't listen to baskels, so then what's up with the baskel by Beis Hillel that we do listen to? So we seem to have a stira in Shas. Do we listen to a baskel or not? Tosus gives one or two answers. And the answers that we're going to see in Tosus are going to be incredibly illuminating to figure out what to do if you happen to get a baskel on your way home from shul tonight. We're going to talk about some high things, so, you know, even without the special treats we have after, I'm joking. Even without any chemical help, you might be floating home tonight, so we're going to get into a little bit of Kabbalah later, not real Kabbalah, but people who talk about Kabbalah at least. So comes the Tosis and says, you know why the baskel that to pass like Beis Hillel we do follow, but the baskel to listen to Rebbe Elazar here about the Tanish Achna we don't listen to? Look at what Tosus says. Answer number one. Shani Hacha. The case over here by the Tanish Achna is Balachal Kal Divrei Torah. The baskel is anti-halachic. The baskel is saying, you, Rebbe Elazar, the miut, the yachid, halacha should be like you. You're right. But we know that that's against the halacha because the halacha is Achrei Rabbi Mahatas. They follow the majority. So according to this, what do you see? Do we listen to baskels or do we not listen to baskels? According to this answer of Tosos, we listen to baskels, except if they're against halacha.
What's the point then?
The point is that if you don't know what the halacha is, you could listen to a baskel. The only time that you don't listen to a baskel, if it's against the halacha,
you ask the baskel thereof, and then you have a rabbah a dozen percent.
If you don't know what to do in a certain halacha, and there's a baskel that comes, and there's a machlokas 50-50, there's a machlokas Rabbi Yashiv against Rosh Shlomo Zalman, and you don't know who to paskin like. So what are you going to do? You daven hard, you ask for a baskel, and whatever the baskel comes down, you should paskin like.
So
Oh, what about Loba Shemayim? He tells us just said, no, that's only here because the Torah said, don't follow the minority, follow the majority. That's when you don't listen to a basco. But if it's not against the halacha, you can listen to a basco. That's what comes out. Yeah.
By Shammai and Hillel, Bishavei was considered Harifi Tvei. So they argued that, yeah, Bishavei, you're the majority, but you're not even on, in our league. You're like a community college, more like an Ivy League. So just because you're the majority, you get 10,000 community college students and 50 Ivy League students, you listen to the Ivy League students.
That's the Gemara says,
so,
yeah.
Right. So the Baskel had to tell you that you listen to Rov nonetheless.
There the Baskel is telling that you listen to Rov even against a majority, even if they are not as sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you need it
but we're saying that you do listen to a Baskel.
But only because despite we had the rule of Rav and Lava.
The rule would have
I don't know
if we would have said, meaning in a general case, if you have, again, a based in of three dayanim, and two dayanim are dodo heads, and one dayan is really smart.
Yeah.
You think you'd follow the really smart one?
No. Well, this Gemara that Rabbi Yeshua says, Lo B'Shamayim, his punchline is, the Torah says,
so Tos is being medayik that the only reason why we're not following the Baskel in the case of Ritana Shel Achnai is because against the Torah that said Achra Evelatos.
But Shammai was arguing on that institution of Achra Evelatos. So you needed something over Achra Evelatos to set the record straight. But that's what Shammai's arguing was.
No, his argument was about whatever he was arguing about. I don't know if they said that. No. They're just arguing on the whatever their case was. It happens to be. Okay, let's hold that. Tosus gives another answer to the stira in Shas. Do we listen to a Baskel or not? Tosus's answer is, maybe really, I'm going to say it outside, maybe really we should listen to a Baskel. And that's why by Beis Hillel we listen to the Baskel. You want to know why. In the case of Rebbe Lazar, who called out, Min HaShemayim Yochichu, you'll see that I'm right. You know why Baskel came out? Not because he was really right. Not because that's really what Hashem holds, or the Beis HaShemala holds, but just because of cover for Rebbe Lazar. Could you imagine if nothing would have happened? Rebbe Lazar, one of the great Tzaddikim Hadar, calls out, I'll prove to you that I'm right, let a voice come out from Hashem. Anyone hear anything? No? No? That would be terribly embarrassing to Rebbe Lazar. So, Hashem sent a Baskel. So maybe one could argue, as Tosa says, that's why we ignore that Baskel. Stop. That means, in general, do you listen to a Baskel?
Sounds like
yes, except if that one we don't listen to because maybe it only came to give covet. No, right. So when it seems that it might only come because of covet, but if on your way home, Shalom, on your way home, you get a Baskel, should you listen to it? Of course.
Unsolicited.
If it's an unsolicited Baskel, it's not for covet, you would listen to a Baskel. So what I just showed you is the Gemara says, Ein Shem LeBaskel. I just showed you Tosus. Both answers hold. In the right circumstances, you do listen to a Baskel. Wow. Halacha L'maisa. So Rabosai, on your way home, listen carefully, because we'll follow a Baskel if it's not going to be against Halacha or not for anyone's covet. That's what Tosus says. Ways is the Baskel. Right. So that is Shitas Tosus. Shitas Tosus, I just showed you in two different, back to back, but in two different answers of Tosus, Tosus says, you do listen to a Baskel fundamentally, as long as it's not for someone's covet, it's not for going against Halacha, you do listen to a Baskel. That's going to be very against the Rambam, because look at the Rambam towards the bottom of the page, what I underlined. The Rambam is talking about what happens when you have a Navi who makes up Halachas and the like. Let's say a Navi stands up and says, you know, Torah doesn't apply anymore, or here's a mitzvah that you don't know about, or don't do those mitzvahs. You could think of a person with the initials JC, for example, or anybody else throughout human history. If somebody, a Navi, gets up and undermines, uproots a halacha that we learned, what do the words mi piashmua mean in the Rambam? Halacha mosh mi Sinai. I'm not sure exactly what those three words mean. If it means drabbanan, it's the rice. Okay, anyway, the Navi gets up and undermines a halacha. Oh, Sha'amar b'din midin. Yeah, let's assume a halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Oh, meaning he comes and tells you tefillin should be yellow, or could be yellow. Oh, Sha'amar, what I underline b'din midin ha'tara Hashem tziva lo shadin kach v'kachu v'halach k'dvei ploni. In whatever mitzvah he happens to be discussing, he says the halacha is like this, and we pass him like such and such. That's my nevuah. You know what we do after he comes and tells us who we should paskin like? If there's machlokas or Yashua and Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, a guy comes and says, I had a nevuah that Hashem told me you should paskin like Shlomo Zalman. What do you do with this guy? You kill him tomorrow morning. Hareza Navi Hashek of Yechonik. Even if he brings a proof, even if he does magic, Shari Bola Hachish HaTorah. Shatorah Omra Lo Bashamayim Hi. I want you to look at those last five words. How is saying, listening to a Baskel against the Torah? Not because, oh, you're following the minority instead of the majority. The Torah told us, Lo Bashamayim Hi. If the Torah tells us Lo Bashamayim Hi, and you're telling us that I found that from Shamayim, you must be lying. What? And he's a Navi Shek, and he's going to be killed. What do you see from the Rambam? The very fact that you follow a Baskel is, by definition, against the Torah. What part of the Torah? Not Achrei Rabim Lahatos. It's against the Torah there when the Torah says Lo B'Shamayim Hi. That means every Baskel by definition is against the Torah. Every Baskel by definition is not acceptable. And therefore, every Baskel by definition, if you follow Baskel in any area of Halacha. Again, if he says, if a Baskel comes and says jump up and down three times, it's not against Halacha. It's not in the Halachic process. It's not like any, it's not telling you how to paskin in a machlokas or Shlomo Zalman and Rebbe Yashiv. It's only related to halacha. Okay, listen to a baskel. But if it's anything to do with halacha and the halachic process, that is not acceptable. What do we have, Rebbe Osai? Machlokas, tosis. And the Rambam, the Tosis said 2 minutes ago that as long as it's not, the baskel isn't antithetical to psak. Or as long as the baskel's not to, you know, pat someone on the back and for somebody's covered, you'll listen to a baskel. The Rambam says, by definition, if you follow a baskel, it's against the Torah. Every baskel's against Lo B'Shamayim, that says that which the Torah says, don't follow baskels. And therefore, according to the Rambam, you will never pass them like a baskel. So what are we going to have to do for the Rambam? We're going to be in bigger trouble. All the places in the Torah, in Chazal, where we see that there's a baskel, for example, let's talk about Baal Katatik question in a second. Let's go back to that question about Beis Hillel. What did the Gemara say about Beis Hillel? We pass like Beis Hillel all the time against Beis Shammai. Well, how could we follow that baskel? After all, yes, it's not going against the halacha because Beis Hillel anyway are the majority. But either way, you can't follow the baskel because every baskel is usher to play any role in halacha. This is the question. Look at the question on towards the bottom of the page of the Kosos Mishnah. And his answer is, I don't know. He says, I don't know. Aval kashali, says the Kosos Mishnah. De amru in perakamadi avamis, de yotzitza baskel lomar da halacha kebeis hillel. This is the Rami Yisori HaTorah Perek Tes, Halacha Dalet, the Kesef Mishnah there says, we see the Gemara Yevamah says, we listen to the Baskel about Beis Hillel, and we always do that, we always do pass like Beis Hillel. Frek, the Kesef Mishnah, Tosus gave his explanation, Ve'enu ola kavida as Rabbeinu, but it doesn't work for the Rami, because the Rami says, every Baskel has to be ignored. V'tzarachian, I don't understand that Gemara. That Gemara seems to be against the Rambam. Yeah.
The Rambam seems to be a little extreme.
Mm-hmm. The Rambam is very extreme.
No, in the aspect that if the Torah meant Lo B'Shamayim, you could have a Navi that tells you this, but Lo B'Shamayim tells you don't listen to the Navi. Not that it didn't happen. Here we say that it's Sheker.
Yes, here we're saying that when he claims that he heard a Baskel get involved in a Psak Halacha, he must be lying. Not just that we will ignore him, but he, by definition, must be a liar because Hashem said in the Torah there won't be any other, there won't be any interference with the mechanisms of halacha, the development of halacha in from a baskel.
It's a very good point. On the point of if the Rambam were right, then even if the Rambam were wrong, then we don't put him to death, but then we disregard him. Even that's a machlokes of Tosis. Tosis says
sometimes you'll even follow it. According to Tosis, you will follow a baskel in the right circumstances. According to the Rambam, A, you don't, and B,
so what is,
by definition, it's never shek.
What does it say about
Oh, there's such a thing as Navi Sheker. Navi Sheker is a guy.
It says Allah is like Revelator.
We'll listen to him if it's not against halacha. For example, if it says halacha is like Beis Hillel.
Yeah, the Navi says so.
If a Navi says that halacha is like Beis Hillel, and anyway that it fits with the halachic process because Beis Hillel was the majority, so we'll honor him at the shul dinner. Wow, we had a Navi who is mechazik Beis Hillel, who's mechazik halacha. Beautiful Navi. Thank you, Navi. We want to give you Shlishi from now on, and you're going to be the guest of honor this year. Because you gave us a beautiful Navi. Okay. The Ran adds one point, which you could see towards the top of the next page. I underlined it. The Ran adds one point. In this story about Rebbe Lazar against the Chachamim, Rebbe Lazar says, I have all these proofs from Shemayim, and Chachamim say, no, it's Tameh, and we don't want to listen to your proofs from Shemayim. Who was right, by the way? Don't tell me who, how do we paskin? Who was right? Yaakov, what do you say? Who was right? I know you have to pass like the Chacham, like the Rov. But were the Rov right? Or was Rebbe Lazar right, but we just don't pass him like him? Yeah, that's what the Ran says. The Ran says, the one who was right was Rebbe Lazar. When the Baskel came out, it wasn't, you know, apologetics. It wasn't making him feel good. It was right. Rebbe Lazar's right. So how should Chachamim think when they know that they're absolutely wrong and they're saying something wrong? Exactly. Look at the words of the Ran, how he articulates that point that Zafir says. Look what I underlined. Acha shesichlam nota letame. Once their seichel, look at the role of seichel here in the next two lines. Once their seichel, their intelligence, their intellect says it's tame, even though they know they're wrong. They know they're wrong. But reason, the gift of reason that they were granted, tells them that this is what should be the conclusion. Even though you know you're wrong, they didn't want to give in. If they would switch their psak to know what is really true and correct, they would be breaking the Torah. You know, I'll tell you in a different way. Sometimes you learn a sugya. You know, you learn, Hilchos Brachos, and you come to a conclusion. Let's say I come to a conclusion that, you know what, bracha you should make on chocolate? Well, how do you make chocolate? Cocoa bean. Cocoa bean, what's the main product of a cocoa bean tree? Chocolate. A cocoa bean grows on a tree. Trees are bori pri. Right, so the main product of that is a chocolate. So chocolate, you should make bori pri eitz. He did. I'm just giving that an example. Yerushalayim Zalman said what I just said. Yeah. But let's say you're learning the sugya, you come to the conclusion, and you think it should be bar priyates. I mean, I know I'm wrong. Every bracha book in the world says it's shahakal. Every kid from the time they're 4 years old knows that it's shahakal. But so what do I do? Do I do what I think is, after I learn the sugya and I think I'm right, I do? No. I bow my head to, you know I'm wrong. But so I do something else anyway. I do what I know is right. Again, that's for me. But when they were in the discussion of Rebbe Lazar against Chachamim, and they were actually figuring out these halachas, and they understood, you know, their understanding of halachas is much greater than mine. If they came out with something that makes sense to them, the halacha is they must hold by it, even though they know they're wrong. Incredible. Okay, look at the last line. What I underline: Kevin shesichlam. And whatever they think. So this is the role of Chachma, the role of wisdom, the role of the Seichel. Hashem gave the Seichel incredible power. Whatever the Seichel paskins, that's the halacha, regardless of being right or wrong.
Like if you show the day of Yom Kippur,
that he kept. Yeah. That's different because the example of Rabbi Yeshua coming on Yom Kippur to Rabbi Gamliel is different because there he knows that the system, the mechanics of Rosh Chodesh is that whatever the Bezdin decides is the Rosh Chodesh. he might think that the Beis Din is, and there's a special gzeir sakasa that even if the Beis Din is wrong, what the paskin is really standing. What we're saying here is even if you don't have any special gzeir sakasa like you have by Kiddush HaChodesh.
He was prepared to so do the next day of the Kippur.
Okay.
So Gamliel forced him
to. Yeah. But again, there at least you have the gzeir sakasa that says Atem Afilu. I don't know the sig yet. Okay.
They hold that
would be shakal and grape juice because it's a liquid. Grape juice. That's not wine. It makes shakal. Okay, could be. Okay. So now I want to. We're starting to open up the sugya a little bit. We realize that there's stir in shas, there's machlokas rishonim. How do you deal with, what happens if there's a baskel that's not against halacha? Would you follow it? Machlokas, Rambam and against Tosfos. Now I want to start broadening the shaila, and you'll see that it applies to not just, again, baskels don't happen too often to us, but there are other areas of halacha. I mentioned before that there are different ways that people get information from above. Look at what the Maariv Chayes writes in his comment in his sefer called Toras Neviim. L'fi ma shebiyarti l'mala, haTorah hazos hu rak manas v'chevel hachachamim. Means it's the portion of the chacham. Torah is owned by. Torah is not God's. Torah is not humanity's. Torah is owned by the chachamim. And there's no place, v'ein mavo, there's no, right, tzarfir, that's a beautiful word, v'ein mavo, there's no entree, l'hanavua, beruach hakodesh, ubaskol, anyone know the next one? Urim v'tumim, very good. There's no role for urim v'tumim in halacha. Again, bedinim v'halacha. So again, there's a role for urim v'tumim, we have urim v'tumim for a reason. Should we go to mecham, should we not go to mecham? Should we appoint this person, or should we not appoint this person? But anyone, anywhere in halacha and in dinim, there's no role for nevuah, ruach hakodesh, baskel, urim v'tumim. These are all areas of, methods of some kind of revelation from above. And if that's the case, what about all those places where we say, oh, Eliyahu will tell us. Teiku, Tishpi, Yishtayis, Kushis, Abayos. All the other places we say, Yehemunach, Hachiyavo, Eliyahu Hanavi. I don't understand. I thought Nevuah has no role in Eliyahu Hanavi. Nevuah has no role in Halacha. So all the places in Shas, Teiku, Yehemunach, Hachiyavo, Eliyahu. Now he'll mention Eliyahu, a whole bunch of cases where we see Eliyahu telling us this, Eliyahu telling us that, a case of Treif and Nevela. He mentions Teiku, another case, place of Chalitza or something, what to use for Chalitza. Eliyahu. How can we follow Eliyahu anywhere? After all, Eliyahu Hanavi, you're following him because he's a Navi, but that's not the.
We're saying that because we don't have an answer per se, we don't have an answer.
So you're saying that whenever it says we follow Eliyahu, it's a nice way of saying we don't know.
You don't have to know.
Wait, what are you saying? You're saying it doesn't really mean it, we're not really going to follow Eliyahu? Or it means when you really don't know, then you're allowed to follow Eliyahu? Which one are you saying?
I'm saying that when the halacha says,
but what you said is against the Rambam that we said 3 minutes ago. Because you remember the Rambam says that if you apply a baskel or nevuah to anything that is halachic, that's against the Torah, and it's against the Torah of Lo B'Shamayim, and you kill the guy.
That's going against the Torah.
No. It's going against the Torah not because because the Torah told us Lo B'Shamayim Hi. That's what it means it's going against the Torah. Not when it's going against the Torah, don't listen to a baskel.
But over here,
Over here, we
don't have the capability to follow the Torah because our chachma is limited.
So what do you do when you're a mistupik? You follow the rules of Safek.
Rabbi, I'm going to say...
Hi, Doctor.
I'm going to say that maybe we're not following Eliyahu Hanavi, else Navi.
Go ahead.
What's her teiku? Why do we say Tishbi Torah? It's what about Moshe Rabbeinu? The unique thing about Eliyahu is that he's here with us all the time.
is contemporary. Okay. Therefore, he's contemporary. He knows the inyanim better than Moshe, who may already be obsolete in his view.
Let me just clarify what you're saying. You're saying that
Eliyahu is a contemporary rogue. He's paschening with his sister.
So you're saying Eliyahu never died, and therefore, whenever we happen, if Eliyahu would come to me right now, he's still alive, and he's talking to me not as Eliyahu Hanavi, but as Eliyahu HaRabbi. HaTamad Chacha. HaTishpi. I hear that. You're Mechave in Baruch Shekivanta. We're going to get to it in a long time. We're not going to get to it for a little while, but the Chasam Sofer is going to say what you're saying. Baruch Shekivanta to the Chasam Sofer. Beautiful. But we're not there yet. I'm just trying to raise questions. I want to ask two more questions before we get to one of the to some answers. Dr. Hollander suggested one answer, the answer to the Chasam Sofer, which we'll see a little bit more more in depth. But that's a beautiful answer, Dr. Hollander. Baruch Shekivanta. Dr. Hollander, you could give yourself a pat on your back, but don't twist your arm. What's that?
The same thing would be with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi.
Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi didn't die?
Right.
Yeah? Oh, I didn't know that.
Ksuvas,
okay. Forget. Okay, so now we have I'm going to ask, you remember, Tosus said, I'm going to ask a question both on Tosus and the Rambam. Tosus says that as long as the Baskel is not against Halacha, and as long as the Baskel is not apologetics, it's just to, for somebody's covered, you could listen to a Baskel. I'm going to show you a Gemara that's clearly indicative that we wouldn't listen to Baskels, even if it's not for anyone's covered, and even if it's not against any halacha. This is a Gemara in Tzemura, Tes Zayin Amar Aleph. There, you could look lower down on the page, a quarter of the way from the bottom. Amar of Yehuda Mashmuel. This is Tmura Tes Zayin Amar Aleph. Shlosha Alaf Malachos Nishtachlu B'mei Evlo Shel Moshe. When Moshe died, Klal Yisrael lost 3,000 halachas. Does that mean that people remember them and the loss of Moshe brought sadness and we lost it? Does it mean that they were unclarified and we would have asked Moshe and Moshe is no longer here to answer the questions? I don't know. But when Moshe died, we lost 3,000 halachas. Amar Lo Yehoshua Sha'al. They said, Yehoshua, ask. What does that mean?
Ask from
Shemayim. Maybe through the Urim V'Tumim, maybe you're an Avi. You could, talk directly. What did Yehoshua answer? Lo b'Shemayim. That's a good response. Amar Lo L'Shmuel. They said to Shmuel Hanavi later on in history. Sha'al. These questions that we are uncertain, that we lost from the time for years. Sha'al. Amar Lahem. The Torah says, Eila HaMitzvos. She'en Hanavi. Rashi L'Chadesh. Davar Me'ata. Nevi'im like me, Shmuel Hanavi, can't be Mechadesh anything. That's a very firm answer. Yeah, but that's a drasha, and he, as a Talmud Chacham, has the right to make a drasha, as a Talmud Chacham. Here they're asking him, we don't know what halacha should be, don't use your rabbi hat, use your nevuah hat to just ask Sha'al min HaShamayim. What you're saying is good, and that echoes what Dr. Hollander said a minute ago, that maybe Eliyahu is different. Very good. Okay, the Braisa continues. But Masnisa time, the Braisa taught, it wasn't 3,000 halachas, it was 1,700 kavachomers and gzeir shavas that were lost in Evel Moshe. Omer Rabbi Abahu, Afal Pichain, guess what? Hechziron Osnio ben Knaz mitoch pilpulo. Osnio ben Knaz was able to figure it out through his pilpul. What's the pilpul? Pilpul is not nevuah, right? Pilpul is logic, learning. That you're allowed to paskin. You're allowed to use your pilpul and your logic and your learning and your analysis. That's allowed. Okay. Can I ask you a question? If Yeshua would have asked Hashem, please open my eyes to know that these 3,000 halachas, is that against halacha? Is there a minority, a majority that's against? No. Is that apologetics that the Basco would only come out for someone's covet? Yeshua would go to a dark room, no one knows what he's asking, and he'd come out and say, I have all the answers. It's not that any Basco or something's happening for anyone's covet. So why can't Yeshua ask Hashem? Or Shmuel, why can't Shmuel ask Hashem? Why do you have to rely on Asa ben Kranz using pilpul and lamdis and yeshivish Chakiras, why couldn't Yehoshua? It must be, this is against Tosus. This shows me like whom? that we don't want to listen to a baskel, we don't want to listen to a Navi in any area of halacha, even if it's not a going against somebody, even if it's not apologetics. This sounds like the Rambam against Tosus. Tosus says you could listen to a Baz, you could listen to a Nevoah if it doesn't contradict anything else. Here you see that it's not contradicting any template of halacha, and we're still not willing to accept Nevoah. Kash on Tosus, yes.
Is the lotion of Shiklam the Chodzu V'Yisdom a reestablishment of what had been? Were there people that were like, oh right, I remember Moshe said that?
That doesn't make a difference. If you don't know, you can't be reminded from Nevuah, and then we say, oh yeah, now I remember. Because you're introducing Nevuah into the halachic process.
Yeah, but
you're saying once you remember, it triggered your mind. I hear you. You're saying maybe if it just triggers your mind, and then they remember, oh, right.
I mean, it was them. It's not even like us.
But it's a little bit weak, because when the halach is either A or B, and then you hear it's A. Oh, right, I remember it's A. You knew the two options. It was either A or B, and you didn't remember. Now,
with his pilpul.
No, pilpul's permitted. Pilpul's permitted. I want to. Let's not talk about.
That's not shiklum yet.
They forgot and they reestablished it through pilpul. That's through learning Torah. That's allowed. That's fine.
But you can do that on your own without having forgotten. Like if you just come.
Well, that it just happens to be. That's what happened. I mean.
Like if you just have a pilpul shayla and you come up with the.
Yeah.
Not having known that there was a shiloh that we had forgotten the answer to.
Okay, I don't know. Let's hold on for that. Okay, I want to ask another kasha. This is what I mentioned between Mechamarav, those of you who are here, I think most of you are here. The four letters, the five letters, Menatzpach, Mem and Mem Safis, Nun and Nun Safis, Tzadi and Tzadi Safis, Pei and Pei Safis, Chaf and Chaf Safis. So the Gemara says in Megillah, the very beginning of Megillah, Bezim and Bez, look at the top of page 3. Menatzpach, this idea of having the sofits, or the end of nuns, and end of peis, and end of mems, and end of chafs, sofim amrim, sofim are who? On the Nevi'ei Hadoros. This concept of these letters were taught to us, were instructed to us by the Nevi'im. Frekti Gemara, what do you mean? Nevi'im aren't allowed to be mechadish Torah. Eila ha-mitzvos. She'ein navi ra'ashel chadish tovar. So Gemara says, yeah. What happened was, we knew that there were these different forms of a letter, the round ones and the long ones. We just forgot which one is in the middle and which one is the end of the letter.
How to implement them,
where to apply them. We knew there's a round one and a long one, we just didn't know where. And the Nevi'im came and told us, no, the round ones are in the middle of the words, beginning or middle of the words, and the long ones are at the end of the words. I asked the Gemara, that doesn't answer the question. Sof, Eila HaMitzvos, the Torah says, these are the mitzvos, and a Navi can't be mechadish. The Navi can't tell you that either. Ella, look at the conclusion of the Gemara, what I underline, Shachachachachum v'chazur v'yastim. It's not the Nevi'im were mechadish it. We used to know the halacha. And the Nevi'im came, and they re-established what we had forgotten. Look at Rashi, how do they re-establish it? Al pi hadibur, with Nevuah. Wait a second, what do you see? This seems to be acceptable. They're paskling based on Nevuah, aren't they? And that is against the Rambam. The Rambam says you can't paskin based on Nevuah. And here you see that they are paskin based on Nevuah. True, it was once known, but then they forgot, and Rashi explains how they forgot. It was Golos Bavel, and they would travel when they went to Bavel. They didn't have Torahs, and they didn't know this. They totally forgot how to write letters. They were in a different society, different language. They spoke Aramis and Babylonian. And they had Nevuah. So you see that if there's Nevuah, you could reintroduce halacha with Nevuah. As long as it was something that you once knew. That's against the Rambam. The Rambam should say, Nevuah has no place in Torah Psak. And if you use Nevuah, according to the Rambam, if you use Nevuah to paskin anything, you should be killed. You're a Navi Sheker. Yes.
Is the question here in terms of the letters, because you're going to be using them to write a separate...
Yes, we're talking about using these letters in the kashas of a Sefer Torah. Yes, Yaakov.
But I thought, doesn't the Gemara say, in place of Megillah, how in the world do we read Megillah to begin with? The Bible of the Gemara says that the Chachmei Doros was Sakim Megillah, Nubitz of reading Megillah.
Oh, you're talking about a different question. You're saying very good. The concept of reading the Megillah, that's a Takana Midrabanan. We're not talking about Takanas Midrabanan. We're talking about Rachachom have the right to paskin, but that's not Nevuah. They're not doing that with Nevuah.
So they're doing it based on the
based on their koach as chachamim, as chachmei haTorah, not through nevuah. Here we're trying to we have Torah says something, we don't know what the Torah holds, and we're going to use nevuah to figure it out. And that, so what do we have? We have Rabosai, one question on the Rambam, one question on Tosfos. We're totally messed up. We're totally confused right now. Some Gemara say you could have a nevuah and Baskel, some don't. Okay, let's try to take it another step further. And this is really, I guess, in a certain sense, the connection to Lag BaOmer. I do not know Kabbalah. I'll be the first one to say yet. Thank you. That's very sweet of you. Amen. But there's a Sefer Eitz Chaim, Ruchaim Vital, which is Kabbalah or an introduction to Kabbalah. And the Hakdama to Sefer Eitz Chaim of Ruchaim Vital, Ruchaim Vital was the Talmud of the Arizal. We're going back close to 500 years. And he describes the Arizal. And in this Hakdama to Sefer Eitz Chaim, I'd like to share with you a little bit about how he, well, we'll get to how he describes the Arizal. But first, he raises the point that every generation, or almost every generation, had a person, a unique individual, who had some kind of Ruach HaKodesh. Look at Reb Chaim Vital, Nachdan Te Esei Yitz Chaim. Now, I don't learn Reb Chaim Vital, I don't learn Sefer Yitz Chaim. There's a website called Olamot. Olamot is a organization created by a Yid in Los Angeles, Meir Goldwicht Smachutin, Tzvi Reisman, who's a Talmud Chacham, you probably know him, Chazan. Tzvi Reisman is a Talmud Chacham and a very big philanthropist, and he created this organization that has a lot of shiurim online, and they had a shiur on this topic, and in that shiur it had the Samar Makomos that I would never have found on my own, and this is one of them. So I want to give credit where credit is due. But look at what Reb Chaim Vital writes. Bechol dor vador, look on the right column. Shalonim tzibo anashim, I'm sorry, ein bechol dor vador, shalonim tzibo anashim yechidei skul. There's no generation that doesn't have unique, special people, sheshar salem ruach hakodesh. V'hoye elyo anavi nigla alem. In every generation there's somebody, or some people, who have ruach hakodesh, and are zocher si Eliyahu. U'melamin osam sisri hachachmazos. And they, Eliyahu, teaches them what we'll call Kabbalah. As we see from the Sefer HaKanti, and he goes through the generations, to skip a few lines, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Ibn Harav, Haragili Eliyahu, and the Ravid, gave it to his son, and the son, Ravid's son gave it to his son, Rav Yitzchak Sagi Nahor, the blind Rav Yitzchak, and he gave it to his two students, Rav Ezra, and Rav Azriel, I don't know who those are, and then finally got to the Ramban. The Ramban was that person in his generation. We know the Ramban has, you know, Kabbalah in his Torah. He mentions things that are Kabbalah, says that, and he's much later than these previous generations he was that person. Okay, the Ravid talks about situation, two places in the, on, when he comments on the Rambam, there's two places that the Ravid talks about the Nevu, the Gili Eliyahu, or the Ruach HaKodesh that came, based on which he passed concern halachas. You see what the problem's going to be. Okay, and now I'm getting to talk about my Rebbe. My Rebbe, the Arizal. So look how he describes his Rebbe, the Arizal. Look where I made that sort of circle. Harav HaGadol HaElokei, HaChosid Moriv Rabbi Kvol Moreno Harav Rabbeinu Yitzchak Luria Ashkenazi. So the Arizal. So first of all, Mali Torah Karimon, B'mikra, B'mishnah, B'talmud, B'pilpa, B'medrashim, B'hagadas, B'maisim Breishis, Maisim Rekava. Okay, so he's describing his Rabbi as knowing everything. Great. We could say that about probably other people. Baki B'sichas Ilonos, B'sichei Ufos, B'sichas Malachim. This is already getting a little... This is like Shlomo HaMelech. This is like Shlomo HaMelech. The Pesukim say by Shlomo HaMelech. I think that's Pesukim, not even Medrashim. Yanis HaMenazil also, okay. So, Makir b'chochmas ha'partzuf. Wow, it's getting a little scary. The Arizal looks at your face and he, you know, starts figuring you out. Yodea b'chol ma'aseh b'nei adam she'asu. He knows what people did, v'she'asin las, and what they will do. Yodea b'machshavos b'nei adam. Even before, he knows what people think, even before they do it. Terem yotziyem in ha'koch l'apal. Yodea asidos, he knows what's going to be happening. He knows everything that's happening everywhere. Whoa, this is really... again, this is the Arizal. Etc., etc., etc. etc., etc., etc. And all these chachmos, you see the underline, v'chol ha-chachmos, and his karmel, it's like kumunachem v'cheiko. It's like not even hard for him. V'chol eisha yirtze. Whatever he wants, he can access all this knowledge, nevu, whatever you want to call it, knowledge, wisdom, insight, kudu, I don't know what to call it. He doesn't have to like go out to the fields, and it's just at his on the tips of his fingernails, on the tip of his fingernails. Okay, he said basically it's absolutely wild what my Rebbe, the Arizal, had reached. And now look at the last paragraph, the top of the next page, and this is the most incredible thing. How did he get it? I guess somebody, a malach came and taught it to him, right? V'chol ze hisig, says Reb Chaim Vital, shelo yidei shimush kabbalas masios. I don't know what that means. Not through something or other, I don't know what that means. Ki isur gadol yesh b'shimush, you can't use magic or whatever else. Practical, okay. Omrim kol ze hoya me'atzma, it was all from ayidei chasiduso uprishusa, from his incredible, incredible chasidus and precious acharis oska yomim v'shan ramah, through his incredible, incredible amelis and avodas Hashem. Through learning, b'chachma, and through the learning that he did, and the chassidus that he practiced, and the preachers that he practiced, v'tara v'kedusha, that brought him lidei Eliyahu Hanavi, shehaya nigla ilav tamid, u'midabrim peh el peh, v'limdo zos ha'chachma. That's the punchline. All the stuff that Arizal did, he purified himself to such a great level that he was able to become such a tzaddik and a kadosh and a tahar that Eliyahu came to him and taught him all these incredible things. Rabosai, what's my question? How in the world could anything that we do based on the Arizal, which is whatever halachas and practices that we do based on the Arizal, which are probably many, I don't have them, you know, off the tip of my hand, but the Nusach of Tefillah, for example, that's a good one, and that's just one of probably dozens of things that we follow based on the Arizal. It's all coming from Gilui Eliyahu. That's the question I want to ask for tonight. That's really the main question for tonight. Basically, if I could just add one twist, the same is true with all the, all of the Zohar. Everything that we do based on the Zohar, the same thing. The Zohar is, from what I understand, I don't know the Zohar, is what Eliyahu Hanavi taught Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in the cave. That's all from Gilui Eliyahu. You're asking a good point. According to Tosos, you could follow a Bas Kol.
So your question is the Rama, right? Not Tosos. Tosos is not a problem.
You're right. I have to say you're right.
Yaakov is pointing. Not a Bas Kol. It's like they were there. They saw what was happening. It's a human being who wasn't Shemayim, saw what was going on, and he brought it down.
A human being who what? I'm sorry, human being who what?
A human being who had a connection to Shemayim, and he's telling us what he saw.
But we can't use that in Pesach. We can't follow that in Halacha. A human being telling us what happened in Shemayim is not the halachic process. That's not pilpul, like the Gemara says. That's
maybe if there's a machlaikis, but there's no machlaikis against that person.
The Rambam, like Yaakov pointed out, the Rambam says, I couldn't care less if there's a machlaikis or no machlaikis. You can't follow Halacha, the world of halacha cannot be informed by nevuah. And Eliyahu Navi is one example of a Navi.
But the takey maybe is because when he brings Mashiach, he's bringing back all of the Rabbanim to Pask and everything.
I'm not up to Mashiach. I'm trying to figure out all the things that we do. You're a Hasidish. You have this kasha more than all of us. All the things you do from the Arizal. You're the one who davens Nusach Sard, Nusach Arizal.
We have no kashas. Whatever, fake things can kashas.
Don't worry, we're going to have answers. I'm not going to leave you hanging, Ravash. I'm not going to leave you hanging. Yes, Shalom.
I'd like to suggest.
Yeah, an answer, good.
When it comes to Eliyahu, he's not saying, this is what the halacha is, trust me. He's not saying that. He's giving, using one of the methodologies of coming to a conclusion according to what
we're saying. Torah cannot, you can't come to a conclusion in Torah through knowledge of the heavens.
Yeah, that's right. He's telling the person how to learn it.
Oh, Shalom is saying a brilliant idea. Maybe all the Giluyim Eliyahu is like a Rebbe to help whoever he's megal himself, who Rav Shimon bar Yochai, Arizal. This is where you should use and clearly the Arizal could have figured out through some lamdas and chakira, and he's just guy like a guiding light, like a good rabbi. When I have a master's in education, and the difference between the old style education and progressive education is that old style educators stand in front of a classroom and tell you stuff. A more progressive teacher is supposed to prompt you to figure things out on your own. That's progressive education. So Shalom suggests that that's all Elio did. He just sort of gave hints coached and coaxed Rav Shimon bar Yochai. If that's true, then that does answer our question. I hear that. What? Yeah, how do you change the way we shake the lulav? How do you change the seder tefillah? That I don't know how you're gonna change. Oh, so Shalom will tell you. Maybe Eliyahu showed him to learn the halachas. I don't know. Okay. So what we're gonna do now is gonna bring about three or four ways, new perspectives to look at this whole sugya that we just raised. Of what could we listen to from Shemayim? What can't we? We seem to have a machlokas. We have steers in shas. We have gemaras all over the place on two sides of the coin. We have these kashas from all of Kabbalah, basically. Everything that we have from the Zohar, which is a Gilui Elyo, everything we have from the Arizal, which is all Gilui Elyo, as Reb Chaim Vital tells us. Let's now see a few answers. So the first one will be what Dr. Hollander was mechaven to, Baruch Shekivanta to the Chasam Sofer, in Chelek Vav, the Shas, which is Chasam Sofer, Simen Tzadiches. The Chasam Sofer is dealing with the sugya in Hilchos Shabbos that talks about Tchum, and there's a sugya of Tchum l'mala me'asara and not l'mala me'asara, which raises the issue of can Mashiach come on Shabbos? And Mashiach can't come on Shabbos because if he comes, he's from out of the Tchum. And he can't come from out of the Tchum. And therefore, so I always... I always figured, let's let him come on Shabbos and then we'll find a heter afterwards. That's what I always thought. I don't know what the heter is. You told me once. You told me once.
There's two. One is from Eruv, because Eruv goes horizontally, not vertically.
Yeah, I'm not holding the sugya of Ein Eruv.
And also, at the end of the Torah, it says that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sefer Torah, and they were in...
Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Sefer Torah here and there.
They were in planes, and then all of a sudden he's up on the mountain. How can you go from the planes to the mountain that people can't see?
That could be. Okay, you have answers to the sugya. I don't want to get into that. That's sugya. Okay. But look at the Chasam Sofer's questions. The fabulous questions. And I think when we look at these questions, you're going to act differently at every bris. You're telling me, ask the Chasam Sofer in the second paragraph, you're telling me that Eliyahu HaNavi can't come on Shabbos because it's out of the Tchum. Did you ever go to bris? Bris is, you were at a bris, it wasn't Shabbos. But if it would be a Shabbos bris, guess what? It would be the same exact thing. And the mall is going to say, Hine kisei shel Eliyahu zachur
l'tov. Stayed over the night before.
What? Oh, you're saying that Eliyahu comes and stays the night before.
Yeah, but there's another bris in Bar Park.
Right, there's another bris. Yeah, how does he get from there to there? Look at the Chasam Sofer, asked this as a kasha, v'su. Look at this kasha, the Chasam Sofer is asking a wild kasha. Darinagu alma b'mila lemor, ze kisei shel Eliyahu zachur l'tov. And what does the Namol ask? The Namol says, Amod al yamini l'samcheni. Yes, Eliyahu HaNavi amod al yamini l'samcheni. And he says it even on Shabbos. What do you mean? But he's not allowed to come on. Eliyahu can't come on Shabbos. It's outside the Tchum. If Eliyahu can't come to bring Mashiach, for heaven's sake, he's going to come to a bris? Oh, so I have an answer. I just thought of on the spot in Yor Zachus. We're Mechal Shabbos for a bris mila, right? Bris mila, you can't ask a kasha. For a bris mila, you're Mechal Shabbos. Okay, maybe. Okay, very good. That's an answer to this kasha. Okay, Viter asks the another kasha. Does anyone sing here Hamavdil bin Kodesh Lachal? Fine. Anyone sing Eliyahu HaNavi on Matzah Shabbos? Why do we sing songs about Eliyahu HaNavi? The reason why we sing songs about Eliyahu HaNavi, says the Chasam Sofer, is because he couldn't come on Shabbos. Now he could come. You didn't come. It's like after COVID, you call your great aunt who couldn't come to visit you for the past 2-3 years. Okay, so and Tanta Sprinza, COVID's over. Why don't you come visit us now, right? Eliyahu, you haven't come. Now you could finally come visit us. Wait a second. Ask the Chasam Sofer. If that's the reason, so we should sing it on Matzah Yantif also. Because there's a din of Tchum on Yantif. And there's no minhag of singing Eliyahu Navi on Matzah Yantif. You see how seriously he's taking minhagim. His mom is asking kashas on the sugya from a minhag of not singing, of singing Eliyahu HaNavi. I think I have to start singing Eliyahu HaNavi on Matzah Shabbos. It's a serious thing. The Chasam Sofer is like, really? So you know what the Chasam Sofer answers? He answers, Dr. Hollander, listen to this. This is, you started the beginning of this, but the Chasam Sofer is going to take it an atomic step forward. The Chasam Sofer is going to be mechader something absolutely brilliant. There's two Eliyahu HaNavis. Let me rephrase that. There's one Eliyahu HaNavi, but Eliyahu HaNavi exists on two planes. He exists as human being Eliyahu HaNavi, and he exists as Malach Eliyahu HaNavi. I'm scared to say this by myself, and let's see it in his words. Aval ha'emes yored darko, ki me'olam lo ala Eliyahu begufo l'mal me'asar tfachim. Eliyahu's body only never left the ground. What left did leave the ground? His neshama, which didn't die, but it went higher. And therefore, his neshama is where, look what I underlined, v'ha neshama olo mishamesh l'mala bein malachi asharis. Eliyahu Navi's neshama is up in Shammai with the malachim. Where's his body? His body never left this earth. His body is somewhere, well, it's not like, you know, mamish on earth, but it's somewhere in some low place in Gan Eden, some lower place that's still accessible. In this Gan Eden HaTachton Ba'olam HaZeh, I don't know what those four words mean. You have to be chasen, look at the words. Gufon is daktik, Vishora is resting, Gan Eden HaTachton Ba'olam HaZeh. Oh, so now let's think. What's going to happen when Mashiach comes? Which aspect of Eliyahu is going to come? When Mashiach comes, Eliyahu is going to come as a human being to be mevaseh to us that Mashiach is on his way. Eliyahu HaNavi is going to come three days before, and say, he's here. When he comes, he's going to come as a human being. As a human being, he's going to come from which of his two identities? His body identity. Where was that? That's still in this world. So if he's in this world, we're going to treat him as a human. If he's a human, he has to be bound by the halachos of Tchum, and he can't come from out of the Tchum. So guess when can't he come? He can't come on Shabbos. Look at what I underlined in the next paragraph. B'yom ha-besora, from here of Yomenu, tislabesh nishmaso beguf ha-kadosh halaz. His neshama will be nislabesh in the guf, he'll come as a guf. Vaz hu kechol adam. He's going to have a halacha of a... This is the point that you were mechavin to. He's going to have a halacha when he comes like this as a human being. If he's a human being, he has the power of a, not a Navi, but a Talmud Chacham. Exactly. V'hu musmach, and he's a Chacham who has smicha. He's a rabbi who has smicha from either Achia HaShiloni or maybe Moshe Rabbeinu if he's Pinchas. And he could give smicha to the rest of the Chachamim. And that's how smicha will be reinstated. And therefore, when he comes like that, he's bound by halacha. And he can't come from outside the tchum. That's why he can't come on Shabbos. Oh, but when he comes as a bris, which Eliyahu now he comes as a bris? Does he walk in? Do you see him? What's he wearing? What?
It says,
oh, wow. We say malacha bris. Beautiful. I never noticed that. He comes not, you don't see him. When he walks into the bris, what color tie is he wearing? You know, how is his yarmulke black or knit or crocheted or white or velvet? I don't know. Why not? Because I don't see him. That means he's not coming as a guf, like he will when he's going to be mevas to the besora of Mashiach. Then he's coming as a malach, as a navi, as some other thing. It's not a human. When he comes in that role, he's not bound by the limitations of a human, rather halachas of a human. Ach kishes mitgaleh b'nishmato kumo b'yom hamila. When he comes as his neshama, and I assume like he comes to the Seder also, that's why the kids will ask, how come he doesn't get drunk, right? This is the answer, because he's coming as a neshama. That's why you don't see him, because he's coming as a neshama. I don't know, you're asking, why are we coming before the Kosh Shalel? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, yeah, okay, good. Good, okay. Good, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know, you're right, okay, you're right.
It's not that he's drinking.
Okay, fine. you're fine. So anyway, when he comes in that form of bris mil, at the bris mil, when he's a malach, when he comes not as a person, then whatever he will come in that situation, that matzav, he will not be able to paskin anything. Because in that situation, he's coming not as Elio the human, but as Elio the neshama. And that, he can't paskin. That would be the same situation as Emashkicha Mibasko. Oh, you remember we started with a question half an hour ago. Eliyahu Teiko Tishbi Yitayis Kushas Vebayos. We asked, how could he paskin? And it's below B'Shamayim Hi. And we asked, Yehemurach Ashiyavu Eliyahu, how could Eliyahu Hanavi paskin? Yehemurach, whatever other answers that we say, Ashiyavu Eliyahu, and Eliyahu will paskin this and paskin this, how could he paskin? The answer is when Eliyahu comes as in that point in history when he will do all those answers, give us all the answers. He's going to come as a human, nislabish beguf, and he'll be able to paskin as a rav, as a talmud chacham, and that's why he'll be able to paskin. It's not lo b'shamayim he, because he's going to come not in a matzav of shamayim. That's what Dr. Anders said. We just developed it.
He's giving you the answer, not because.
Correct. When he's going to come as a rav, he's going
to.
Yeah, you said it more. You said it more. Yeah.
Which
he's going to come as a Rav. Right.
What?
So that, what are we going to have to say when it comes to Arizal? It must be, according to this Chasam Sofer, again, the Chasam Sofer is not going to answer our question. It must, according to the way we asked our question, that how could the Arizal, how could the Arizal taught Reb Shimon Bar Yochai all the Zohar, all the halachas from the Zohar, and all of the teaching of the Arizal, all the halachas that we follow from them, from the Zohar and from the Arizal, must be that Eliyahu came not as a neshama, but as a person. And if that's the case, he came as a rabbi, as a rebbe, as a talmud chacham, and he has every right to teach chachma, and it's not b'shamayim.
Many times in the Shasi, he appears as a person,
Yeah, he does appear in some situations as a person, yeah. Okay, so that Chasam Sofer answered just about all of our questions. Brilliant. I'd like to give another, just finish off the shir, with another one or two or three answers, they're all going to be somewhat similar, they'll still be somewhat similar. Comes the Maratz Chias, you see in my chart, the Maratz Chias in his Sefer, Torah Sanavim, Kisvei Maratz Chias, Chelek Aleph, he says the following. Again, there's a Maramakam that I would never have found on my own, but it was from this Olamot Shir, set of Maramakamos. So the Maratz Chias says the following. He says, don't think that Eliyahu HaNavi is going to be paskening. He's just going to be clarifying for us situations that we are unsure of. Meaning, there's one kind of thing when we don't know what the halacha is. There's another kind of thing that we don't know. One second. Right. So he's not teaching us halacha, he's just clarifying for us
what type of shul.
Okay, let's look at what he says, because I don't know if I'm saying this right. How could lo yuchlu second line lo yuchlu hachacham lomar kandat and gavan? Rak Eliyahu zachor latov. There are certain things that people can't figure out, but Eliyahu zachor latov yivara lano eza mehen haksheros eza mehen hapsulos. Look, she is parlon ad Eliyahu kevan shu navi muchsak chayav. We were going to have to believe him.
As a navi?
No, because he's a navi, we're going to believe him. But once we know that we should believe him, then he could teach us. To clarify, I'm not sure what he's saying exactly. He's not going to be paskin. That's what he's trying to say. He's not going to be paskin. He's going to be clarifying things that we're not certain of. Okay, I'm not sure how to say this. The Kovetz Shiurim doesn't answer, that's the Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, gives another answer to this general question, but it's a very specific question. Let's talk about Hashavas Aveda, right? You find a jacket without any name, right? So what do you have to do? Yemunach Hashiyav Eliyahu. You have to keep it in your house, right? I remember when I lived in Washington Heights, we must have had a guest who left a hair dryer, a hair blower in our house, and We just found there was a hairdryer in our house. We have no idea where it came from, who left it here, and it's just sitting there. We don't know. Maybe it was there before we moved in. Maybe it was somebody, a guest that we had in the years that we lived in Washington Heights. Well, guess what? When we moved, we took this hairdryer with us because we're going to have to give it back to someone at some point. I don't know who. But when Eli comes, he hey, Murach HaShiyav Eliyahu. Now, how can we follow Eliyahu? In order to be motzi something, you need two witnesses, right? To be motzi mammon, you have to prove it with two witnesses.
Yeah, but Eliyahu needs to tell you who it is.
I can't follow that without two witnesses. That's anti-halachic. Halacha says you can't be motzi mammon without two witnesses. You can't use nevuah. Look what Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman says, a beautiful svara. When Eliyahu tells you that it's so-and-so's, what are you going to respond? No, I'm not going to say who do you, how do you know? Of course he knows. He's Eliyahu Navi. He says he has nevuah. But what am I going to respond? I don't have to give it back? I'll feel like such an idiot if I do that. Because I know he's right. I just don't have to follow him. So why am I going to follow him? Not because I have to, but because I'll be embarrassed not to. Look what the Rav Chanan says on the left side. When it says, Yemurach HaShiyav Eliyahu, so Eliyahu will be believed. It can't be that he's believed, because you need to aid him. Rather, when Eliyahu will come, Yavo Habal Din Ba'atzmo, so Yishbayish Lichfor Befnei Eliyahu. The person who has the money, who has to pay the money, whoever, whatever the case was, not just in the case of, that I just described of, not just in the case of Hashem HaSaveda, but in certain monetary disputes, when Chabesin doesn't know, and they say, Yehemunach HaShiyav Eliyahu, when Eliyahu says what the halacha is, the person, you're right, you don't have to follow Eliyahu, but you're going to feel like a doofus to not, to you. Everyone knows that it's the truth, and you're not doing it. You'll just, of course you'll follow it, not because you have to, but you'll want to because it's, you know, that's the truth, and you won't have to, the Bezin can't force it, but of course you want to, because otherwise you look like a fool. But again, that only answers a very specific, you know, how could you follow Eliyahu by Yehemunach HaShiyav Eliyahu. Let's finish off with one last Mahalach that answers a number of other questions. This is from Rav Yaakov Hillel. Rav Yaakov Hillel was asked by, I think, the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah, when there were a lot of charlatans and mekubalim who were making a lot of money selling cures to, you know, I don't know, cancer and everything else, and all the terrible things that people encounter and are vulnerable, and these fake mekubalim were taking advantage of making a lot of money. And it got really bad. And a few years ago, I think the Moetzes Chachmei HaTorah, the Aguda, whoever it was, asked Rav Yaakov Hillel, who is the Rosh Hashiv of the Yeshiva Lemekubalim, to write a book. It's in Hebrew, Tamim Tia, and in English it's called Faith and Folly. Nice name. And this is, Rav Yaakov Hillel is a tremendous mekubal, who's American, who speaks a beautiful English, and he's recognized as one of the great mekubalim of Eretz Yisrael. And this is from his sefer, Eid HaGal HaZeh. That's the name of the sefer, Eid HaGal HaZeh, Sha'ar Rishon Perek Zayin. And he is bothered by what our basic question that we have tonight, which is, how could we be following Eliyahu HaNavi and Darizal and Rosh Rabbi Chai and Baskols and all these things from Shemayim if it's Lo Min Hashem, Lo B'Shemayim? That's the question that we're asking tonight. And he has a very interesting, maybe new answer that we haven't seen previously. And what he suggests is that it depends on how and when Eliyahu, maybe this is what Shalom was saying earlier, but with a touch different. It depends how and when Eliyahu comes to you, or the Gilui comes, or the Baskel comes. If it comes, let's see how he says it. How could we follow Ruach HaKodesh after Lo B'Shemayim Hi? Look where it's highlighted. He's specifically coming to answer the various Gemaras where we said that the Nevi'im came and reestablished how to put the Mems and Nuns and Samachs and Peis. What do you mean? How could you have Nevi'im reestablish it from Nevuah? Says Rav Yaakov Hillel that the Nevi'im did it, look what I highlighted, B'derech Limudam. Not as just a Nevuah in a vacuum, but as they were learning the Sugya, the Navi, as they were learning the Sugya, had this inspiration from heaven, this Ruach HaKodesh, this Siyata D'Shemayah, through their learning, that's what it means that the Nevi'im rediscovered what how to put the mems and the nuns and the tzadis. That's what it means when Nevi'im figured, you know, came to this halacha. That's what it means when Eliyahu, and he's not talking about Eliyahu, but maybe it's a similar idea. When Eliyahu was megale, yeah, when Eliyahu was megale to Rav Shimon bar Yochai or to the Arizal, it's that they were learning together. As Rav Shimon bar Yochai was learning, there was Eliyahu Navi enabled him to learn better. It's sort of what you said. You're mechamed to this. I think that's what you're saying. If it's through learning and through following the halachic process, following the process of chakira and chachma and seichel, and but if it's with a great rebbe, I guess exactly like you said before, if it's with a great rebbe like Eliyahu Navi, like the Nevi'im, and they came to whatever conclusions with that divine intervention, but it was during and through and while they were learning the sugyas, that is not considered a violation of lo bashamayim. That's what Rav Yaakov Hillel says, that's what Shalom I think was mechamen to before, and if that's the case, then we really answered all the questions that we had. Because any question that we had of how could you follow Arizal, I mean Eliyahu Navi, how could Arizal follow Eliyahu Navi, how could the Zohar, Rav Shimon bar Yochai get it from Eliyahu Navi, how could we follow, well it doesn't answer like Lasid Lavo, Eliyahu will clarify, yeah. Yeah, well, Lasid Lavo, well, the questions that we have, Tichvi, Yishbayi, Yitayis, Kushis, Abayis, it's not just going to be Eliyahu's going to pop and say the halachas like this. He's going to give a shir klali. We're going to be sitting. We're going to be working on the sugya. We're going to be harping and learning. We're going to be working hard. And then he's going to be teaching us the sugya. And then we'll be informed. And that way, it will be through the sugya, even though it's coming from the Rebbe, happens to be a Navi. But he's presenting it to us something along, again, how to say it exactly. That's what Rav Yaakov Hillel suggests would be the way we could resolve all the contradictions that we have in terms of, on one hand, Lo B'Shamayim, that's going to be in a vacuum. Lo B'Shamayim, we're going to ignore. We're not going to, if a basket of stam comes out while you're walking home tonight, no. If while you're walking home tonight, you're thinking about the shir the whole time, and while you're thinking about the shir, Eliyahu Kohen Navi comes to you and says, this is the real answer to tonight's question, then you could listen to him. Okay, Rabbosai, Yashikach.